The Drives podcast is presented by Disability Advantage Group. Need help applying for Social Security, disability benefits? One call does it all. Call Disability Advantage Group at 865-566-0800 or visit dag-us.com.
You're listening to East Tennessee's premier sports radio call-in show. This is The Drive.
We're working like heck.
And hello, good afternoon, and welcome to another stellar edition of The Drive right here on Fox Sports Knoxville. It is Fan Run Radio on your Tuesday afternoon. Hope you're doing well. I know I am.
You are?
Yes, I really? Am.
That's surprising to me.
Why?
It's you a kind of shame. Kind of bad look for the Russell Smith brand last night.
Oh, stop.
Well, this is for God's sake.
You will take your beat down when I say you take your beat down.
What the
is
hell
that perfectly
ever?
Clear?
No.
You can't call me up. When did you call me, by the way? Bear calls me at like 10 o'clock at night.
It was 7:30.
7:30?
Yeah. Were you already in your pajamas and your cap there, Grandpa?
Yes. I was.
It's not just me saying it. People all over social media are chiming
people
in.
All over, i.e., Brandon, Cody, and the rest of the dunces I associate with in my social life are chiming in.
Why
you gotta make fun of my guys?
I'll take Bear's side. I think you're kind of dodging it. You've had two opportunities.
Well, here's the deal. Yeah, I mean, wouldn't that be the move, right? I keep dodging it and allow you guys to say, oh, Russell's ducking the and then when I do come in and lay the smack down, then what you gonna say? Then what you gonna say, Bear? Because you know you have no confidence that you can beat me in NCAA 14. You know you have no confidence.
I mean, if I can get past rage quit and the first time you get a big gain on me, I'll be fine. I'm a rage quitter.
You are, aren't you? There's no way we finish this game. You won't make it out of the first quarter.
Either your controller or my controller is getting broken.
It's the controller. Do you use the "this game cheats" excuse that we all used to use when we were 10 years old playing Nintendo back in the day? The game cheats!
No.
It's the game's fault!
I better not catch you looking at my plays, though.
It's like the Lions last night, man. You see that at the end of that game? Oh, we got screwed. No, you screwed yourself, man. You had a 10-point lead in the fourth quarter, and you didn't close it out. You put yourself in position to be taken advantage of by the NFL officiating that, you know, we know is suspect. Don't put yourself in that position, man. You're the Detroit. That's why you're the Lions. That's why you're the Lions. Of course you're going to get that kind of treatment at the end of the game. You know why? Because they're the Green Bay Packers, and you're the Detroit Lions. And that's the way it goes.
I tried to explain that to Rick Butler last night. He got all happy there in the first quarter when it was like 6-0. Honest to God. I guess because Chance is, you know, a huge Packers fan. And he was, you know, counting his chickens before they hatched. Like, I sat there and told him, I was like, Packers are going to win this game, dude. They're kicking field goals. And Aaron Rodgers throws dimes against the Detroit Lions when it counts.
Sometimes in life, it just is what it is and there's nothing you can do. They're loud, aren't they?
They're having a party or something. You want me to go quiet them down?
That's all right. Sometimes in life,
I
it
insist.
Just... There, it is what it is, and there's nothing you can do. And that's the situation Jeremy Pruitt finds himself in this week. It is what it is, and there's nothing he can do. There's a reason, ladies and gentlemen, there's a reason that Tennessee is a 34.5 point underdog, according to my bookie. There's a reason that, listen, man, this game, it is what you take your medicine. Listen, man, we're going to get annihilated. There is no sugarcoating. There's no like, I hope. No, it's a night game. They're going to be all kinds of fired up. Like, it's still a rivalry. Like, they still hate us for some reason. They're still amused by us. They're still, like, looking forward to kicking the crap out of us. It's going to be a hostile environment. We are going to get just absolutely annihilated Saturday night, and there's not a damn thing we can do about it. Okay?
I thought about this last night. Jake Lester, 30 years from now, when me and Russell are probably dead and gone, Russell might still be alive, and Tennessee's finally gotten the upper hand on Alabama, and we're putting on our new light show at our stadium, I expect you to goose step all over him.
I like that. You like the light show? We got to have a light show in college football.
I'll get my light show. Can't afford to pay the players.
You know we're going to have one. You know Neyland, they are making plans right now to install the light show at Neyland Stadium, and it's going to be orange next year, and which should be interesting reflecting off the empty seats. But it's going to be – we're going to have our light show in Neyland.
It's going to look like the highway lights that are orange so they're not too bright.
We're going to turn it into the big pumpkin, the great pumpkin by the river.
Are they putting on a Pink Floyd concert or is it college football? I mean, seriously.
Well,
have you seen the demonstration video for this thing?
Oh, yeah. I've seen it. I've seen the one Georgia put on. It is pretty cool. Yeah, I mean, it looks cool.
The Georgia one does look pretty cool.
Yeah, if we were 24 and ripped to the gills and heading in to see the Floyd, man, yeah, it'd be great.
Well, Panic. I still got 5 more years.
I was talking to him. It would have been great, man. Used to really like light shows like that back in my younger days, Russ.
Here's the thing about this series. People say like, oh, yeah, well, we've been here before. They've been on this spell of domination. Yeah, man, I remember being on a long losing streak to them in the 80s and early 90s. But it's weird. Like, I used to get so anxious about that game and like, oh, man, is this the year? Can we do it? Are we actually? And, of course, we were much better then and they weren't as good then. They're still very good. They won a national championship in 1992 with one of the best defenses in the history of the game. But, like, even then, it's – like, I remember being fired up about that 92 game. We had Heath freaking Shuler. And
absolutely.
I thought
– I was convinced we were winning.
I thought it was a long shot, but it was 17-10, and we had our chances in the game. And this year, it's
– That was a David Palmer game, right?
No, that was 93.
Okay.
This year, I don't even care. It's whatever, dude. I don't care. Yeah, they're going to beat our brains in. To me, it's just about don't become demoralized to the point where you can't get up again the next week for South Carolina. Because
we shouldn't have a problem with that this week. How can you, you know? I mean, it's going to be what it's going to be.
Yeah, I mean, I know that. You know that. The listening audience, even the sheepiest of the sheep, J Train, I love him out there. Deep into his heart, he knows this. Maybe not even, he might just know it. But, like, I'm sure that the coaches and players, being the alpha male, macho, I'm going to run through the brick wall type, are going to, you know, they're going to go down there and throw the kitchen sink at them and thinking they can win. They're coming out of the tunnel all fired up. I just hope that they don't get demoralized to the point where they can't put it out of their minds the next day and go get ready for South Carolina, which is huge game.
That's on Pruitt, man.
What do you mean?
He's got to make sure that that doesn't happen on Sunday. You talking about the team or the fans?
Well, what do you mean?
Because the only two people I know in town that are deluded enough to think that we're going to win this week are Roger and J Train. Maybe not deluded. They're just, I mean, they're true believers, man.
Boy, that video of the people surrounding the bear in the Smokies is getting a lot of run.
If I'm not mistaken, black bears are a lot more volatile, even though they're a lot smaller than like brown bears.
Folks who don't know what we're talking about, there's a video of WVLT put it, a bunch of people gathering around a black bear at a park near Townsend on Saturday, and like, we've all seen this, like, the idiot gets too close to the bear. This is really it's a disturbing video because everybody is getting out of their cars and walking right up to this bear. I mean, there are at least 20 people around this bear, just right up next to it, taking pictures and all this kind of stuff. And it's like part of me just wants to see that bear just lash out and slash somebody across the face, you know, like grab onto some guy by the neck.
Bite the jugular.
Like just a lesson, man. Like at some point, this is what Darwin was talking about, right? Survival of the fittest. The guy who gets too close to the black bear doesn't get to grow up to have kids of his own. Doesn't get to pass along his obviously defective genes. And I know they would put the bear down.
Yeah, that's
what
I want them to do it.
But that sucks too. But like it seems like it's getting worse every time we see one of these videos. There's more and more people going up. I mean, like did they teach you guys this in school?
If you just Google aggressive bears, I mean the first line is most bears are apex predators, or at least have no natural predators. Yeah.
Well, bear. According to the North American Bear Center, black bears are very timid, much more timid than brown bears and grizzly bears. And their first defense is to run away and not charge.
Really, really don't need a fact check here on the show.
Evidently, you do. I mean, he just contradicted you.
I don't know. Do you really? All right, bright eyes.
Oh, bright eyes. What does that even mean?
You want to dance? Let's dance.
Let's go.
21 days till tip-off, basketball season. If you're looking for something to be fired up about, the media released its preseason rankings and all that stuff. We'll tell you what they had to say about our Vols' chances coming up on your Rocky Top Report presented by the Kregner Group here in just a couple of minutes. The China controversy, NBA China controversy, has flared back up again. Just when you thought it might be fading away and we could concentrate on basketball, LeBron James storms in with a bucket of gasoline to pour on the smoldering flames.
Yeah, but he dumped it over his head and then jumped on the fire himself. What the hell was he thinking?
He went full
Harry Carey. I mean, just so hypocritical. I don't know. I lost a pretty good measure of respect.
Yeah, I had to. It's weird, man. I'm really trying hard, Bear. Let the record state, I'm really trying hard. My 2019 policy, and I only think I violated it once or twice, of not arguing with idiots on Twitter. Because there were a lot of people, like I tweeted something, some snarky comment about LeBron, and then like it blew up, man. It got a lot of retweets and likes. But there were like a handful, like four or five people that were like, oh, you know, like going to the mat for the LeBron dead enders.
Yeah.
And like I really, I wanted so badly to get into the war of words.
No.
I had the snappy comeback and everything.
It's like sticking your toe into a tar pit.
Several times I wrote it and then deleted it. Just like, but man, it was hard. Man, it's hard.
What I usually do is that's when I screenshot before I hit reply and send it to you what I'm going to reply with and then leave you to be the final arbiter.
But
cooler heads usually prevail.
Yeah, because nobody's ever been told on Twitter. Because then it becomes a thing. You think, oh, I got it with this one. But then they'll fire something back that's pretty good. You got me back a little bit.
Yeah.
And then you,
Your backside's completely exposed.
But at that point, you've committed to the argument. And so you can't let it go at that point. And then you're into a whole thing. And
people
it's just,
come out of the woodwork.
It's embarrassing.
Dig it into your personal life. And it just gets ugly. Twitter's the cesspool of the human race.
Oh, it's so awful.
Either that or Facebook. I think at this point, Facebook may be worse. I'm thinking about deleting tonight, just erasing my presence from
Facebook.
Really? Yeah.
Did you get in a Facebook thing?
Nah.
You just don't like it?
Yeah, I don't like it. I mean, I've got it completely choked down.
I don't look at Facebook nearly as much as I look at Twitter, but every now and then, when I'm sitting on the John or something, I'll still Facebook scroll through, then it's like, oh, yeah, that's why I never look at Facebook.
Yeah.
I want to see what my
I want to see what the guy sat next to
in third grade thinks about the upcoming presidential
election.
Exactly.
So I was going to say, it's that and finding out which people you've known all your lives that have died, and then it's also pictures of horribly cooked food that on, you know, paper and plastic, you know, plates that people think are appetizing. I don't know. It's weird. And then you got the whole Vols for Life group. I would miss them. They bring moments of levity.
They're good. Yeah, man, I don't envy these kids too. We give the millennials a hard time, but they do have it. The whole social media pressure, the pressure to conform, the pressure to, we got to get the likes, got to have the friends, got to have the followers. Like, that's a whole level of social peer pressure that we just
– I got the whole blue check mark deal.
Did not have to
contend
with.
Who's got one and who did, you know.
Yeah. But anyway. Well,
that's a whole class system unto itself.
All right, so we are off and running on a Tuesday afternoon edition of the show. Coming up, we're going to project. We're all penciling in the loss here. I don't know. Is it too negative? I hate asking. I know we always ask that.
No, I've come to grips with it. I'm at peace right now.
I meant what I said. Like, I don't even care. I used to get so worked up about this series back in the day, and now it's just like – it's almost like it's not even happening. Like, there's going to be a game, and like, I hope we don't get hurt.
I think, honestly, the last time I cared and got worked up was Lane Kiffin's year. And then after that, it just – the way our guts got pulled out on that deal.
But I don't remember not getting worked up about that game either, because we thought we were going to get slaughtered by Florida. We thought we were going to get slaughtered by Bama. We actually played pretty well in those games. Should have beaten Alabama.
Yeah, I mean, that was back when I could still talk myself into, you know, believing. Then I got worked back up because I remember calling you and calling the shot regularly every year. I used to never concede Alabama either. Not after the 90s.
Man, when are we going to get back to that point where we go into these games?
When we start recruiting at a high level and our coaching staff pulls their thumbs out of their rear ends and all get on the same page. And we get our house in order.
Bear has a way of just like cutting right to the quick, right?
You asked. Nothing that a Brinks truck full of cash and...
It's so true, man. It's so true. It's so weird to look at our coaching staff. And listen, man, I'm not going to bash on Jeremy Pruitt. No matter what happens Saturday, I'm not going to say anything about him.
I'll watch him closely in this game.
In this game?
Yeah.
Why?
Because he's a Bammer.
Who cares, man? I don't care. There is nothing that could happen Saturday, unless we go out there and play really well, but there's nothing that could happen that's going to make me think any less of Jeremy Pruitt this week. Now, next week, we go back to program building mode and judgment will be levied upon our head coach, good or bad.
I mean, I realize we've never beaten him, but he will be going head-to-head with that maniac in Columbia.
Yeah. This week, I guess I don't really care. But isn't it interesting that we pay all this money? I think Forbes had, like, we had, like, maybe 10th highest revenues in all of college sports a couple of years ago. Certainly top 15, maybe top 10. And we have all this money, and we spend it, man, because we're not saving any of it, because they're always telling us how broke they are. And they're spending it on the coaching staff, and you just look at it and think, man, I hope we don't have to do another coaching search again. But if we do, whether it's this year, next year, whenever, man, just please spend it on the
front end
head coach.
Well, not even the head coach. Just spend it on the front end instead of – we always spend big money on the back end blowing these bums out of here.
But we also spend big money on the assistants. We've got probably there's nobody paying coordinators more than us. Just
Figure out who the number one name is, and then you go to his house, and you don't leave until you got a signature on the dotted line.
I realize that it was a difficult circumstance for Coach Fulmer, and – you know, he was late to the game and had to make a quick judgment.
Cleaning up a mess.
Yeah, he wasn't going to be able to hire the creme de la creme. Like, I get all that. If we have to do this again in the next couple of years, and again, I hope we don't. I hope Jeremy proves us all wrong and becomes the championship caliber head coach we hoped he was when we hired him. But if he doesn't and we have to do it again, spend the money on the head coach the way you're doing on the coordinators now. We know you've got the money. You can't tell us you can't afford it because we see
you spend
it all
the time. No, and they get it because they did it. They did it with Barnes.
Yeah,
I mean,
exactly.
During a contract renegotiation.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think Randy Boyd recognized the commodity that Barnes is. And I still say we got fair market, you know. I mean, that's market value for for Rick Barnes. That's what he commands.
Maybe a little on the pricey side, but hey, man, like if that guy left,
you get a cleanly run program
that you know is going to be in the tournament
every year. They just put three kids into the NBA.
Yeah. All right, stay with us. It's The Drive on Fan Run Radio. Coming up, we'll get your Rocky Top Report brought to you by Bo Kregner and the Kregner Group, doing real estate the right way. Stay with us. The Drive continues on Fan Run Radio. The Drive's podcast is presented by Disability Advantage Group. Need help applying for Social Security disability benefits? One call does it all. Call Disability Advantage Group today at 865-566-0800. Applying for disability can be very tedious. Having an experienced attorney on your side makes it easy. Call Disability Advantage Group, 865-566-0800, or visit online at dag-us.com.
Show with a level of expertise and a level of information that nobody else has. This is The Drive.
All right, Rocky Top Report time. It's brought to you, as always, by our friends at the Kregner Group. Real estate the right way. Call Bo Kregner and the Kregner Group today, 865-742-1035, or online at bonoshouses.com. Tennessee back out on the practice field today, getting ready for Alabama. Saturday night, 9 p.m. kickoff in Tuscaloosa. Lord.
Man, I feel bad for you guys. Sort of.
Speaking of Tuscaloosa, Cecil Hurt of the Tuscaloosa News is going to join us in hour number three, top of the 5 o'clock hour. Give us thoughts from down there. A trio of Vols named today to the Pro Football Focus College SEC Team of the Week after leading Tennessee to its first SEC win of the season Saturday. Offensive lineman Trey Smith, safety Nigel Warrior, and outside linebacker Daryl Taylor all recognized for their efforts in the win over Mississippi State. And I saw when Garantano, he went, what, like 6 of 7 for whatever and a touchdown, no picks. Right. You knew, oh, man, the Garantano analytics mob is going to be out in full force. And I did see where he scored a 93 out of 100 on that was his Pro Football Focus grade.
Other than that one deep fade, they were all swing passes.
And he played well, so I'm not going to come off the top on Garantano, but that was the classic Garantano stat line Saturday. All right, basketball news. The SEC releasing its men's basketball preseason team today, and honors coming out for Lamonte Turner, second team All-SEC. Turner was also one of 9 players to receive votes for the SEC Men's Player of the Year award. I'm going to pull that up. Who do you think they gave the Player of the Year thing to?
I already saw it, so I'm not going to ruin it. But I would have thought Kentucky
guy. I'm not seeing it.
It was Kerry Blackshear of Florida. Lamonte Turner
did
receive
transfer?
Some votes.
I don't see, and granted, I don't know about like the Kentucky one-and-doners and all that stuff, but I wonder how many first-rounders there are. Because Blackshear, like, the reason he transferred is because he wasn't a first-rounder, right? So if he's the number one player returning, that to me tells me there is a shortage of superstars in the SEC. Or is it they're just saying he's such a polished player, he's going to come in and have a really good year for Florida? The Kentucky guys, maybe there's a superstar, maybe there's a couple of lottery picks on that team, but they're going to be so raw that they're probably not going to have the impact that Kerry Blackshear will have.
Yeah, still, man. You can't make a transfer player. That's bogus.
First team All-SEC. Hey, they put 5 guys on it. I love that. Kerry Blackshear, Anthony Edwards at Georgia, Ashton Hagans, Kentucky. I think he's so overrated. Brian Tyree at Ole Miss. He's underrated. And Mississippi State, Reggie Perry. I don't know who that is.
Wait a minute. That's first team?
Yeah. Lamonte
where's
is
Lamonte in Bowden.
Lamonte's second team. Bowden did not make it. Lamonte's second team.
That's crazy.
Skylar Mays at LSU. EJ Montgomery, another overrated Kentucky guy. If EJ Montgomery plays for Alabama, there's no way he's second team all SEC. That's absurd. Tyrese Maxey at Kentucky. I guess he's a freshman. Nembhard at Florida. He's a nice player. Isaiah Joe at Arkansas. Kyra Lewis Jr. at Alabama. Wasn't he flirting with a transfer? In the last
Andrew Nembhard?
No, Kyra Lewis.
No, it was I mean, I was going to say the kid with the crazy-looking hair, but that's half the Alabama team.
John Petty.
Yeah, it was Petty.
Yeah. He's pretty good. Or at least he was surprised. Us.
He wasn't on this list. So, Black Shears Player of the Year, predicted order of finish, Kentucky, Florida, LSU, Auburn, Tennessee. Vols picked fifth in the league. You guys think that's low, high, just right?
I think it's fair, considering the teams above them.
Didn't it?
I think it's low.
Yeah, if anything, low.
LSU and Auburn ahead of us. Like, I think we're going to be better coached than Florida. I probably don't know enough about what everybody else has coming back. Obviously, people are high on the Kentucky freshman this year. But, I mean, are you scared of whatever Mike White's going to throw on the floor down there at Florida?
No. If we get Plasvich eligible, I'm not – I fear no one in the SEC.
I agree. I don't buy the hype. I watched Mike White coach against Kentucky last year, and Florida had an 11-point lead with, like, 10 minutes to go. With 5 minutes to go, they were down 11 because they would just dribble it down the floor, run the shot clock down to 5, and just chuck up some random shot.
Bama's projected 6th, Mississippi State 7th, Ole Miss 8, Georgia 9. Didn't they add a 5-star this year?
They're Georgia.
Yeah.
South Carolina 10, Arkansas 11, A&M 12th, Missouri 13th, Konzo, and Vanderbilt. Jerry Stackhouse picked to begin his first season in the cellar, in the basement of the SEC.
You think he might be underrated?
Who?
Stackhouse.
No idea. We don't know anything about it.
Blank slate.
Yeah.
I hope he's not good.
And then, I missed this one. Jordan Bowden was named to the Jerry West Award watch list for the nation's best shooting guard.
How many's in that?
I'd say at least 30 or 40, something like that.
Yeah, I mean, they'll give it to some blue blood glamour boy.
You got three guys who are really good players on this team. Now, they're all guards, and you're short on post depth. But, you know, you think back to Barnes' first team where we had one guy, Kevin Punter, and that team went 15-19. We got three guys.
And Punter was hurt for part of that, wasn't he?
Yeah, good point. Yeah, so we probably lost a game or two that we wouldn't have had without him. The next team was, like, right around 500.
And the next team.
That was the Hubs
blew
team.
Blew up.
Yeah, and so we don't have as many guys. Like, last year we had – whatever, I guess six really good players.
We still got a core group of veterans that know the system and really talented young guys coming in.
Yeah, this year we're gonna have three guys. So I would project a step back, but not a big one. I think we're gonna have well over 20 wins, solidly in the NCAA tournament. Maybe four at highest, 4 to 9 range, somewhere in there, just depending on how good Josiah is.
I think everything's riding on a lot of it is riding on whether or not Barnes can get his big goon eligible.
I would agree with that.
He's got to be worth at least, four or five games?
That we're overhyping this dude. I really do. Like, and he looks the part. All we've seen is pictures, right? I mean, he's 7'1", 260 pounds, but there have been plenty of guys like that in this league who can't play.
Have you not watched any film?
Not really. I mean, where did you watch film on? And you didn't play last year.
Find anybody on YouTube.
So you watched him playing in Serbia?
Yeah, there's film.
Okay.
Like, you want me to send you a link?
No, I mean, like, I'm sure there is. I'm just like, if he was really the dominant force that some of you are projecting him to be.
He's just a 7-footer is all.
Yeah, skill or not, he's a body.
Okay. Why didn't Arizona State play? It's not like he was buried on the massive Arizona State depth chart last year.
Well, other than him, we don't have anybody that was just as tall as, you know, Kyle Alexander last year at 6'11". So just having him in there as a body to play defense and just make the lane his own would be huge.
I understand that, and I'm hopeful too, obviously. Like, I hope that he does live up to the hype. Not trying to be a wet blanket, just trying to pump the brakes just a little bit before we overhype a guy that nobody's seen play at this level. You know?
When did you start doing that? I mean, seem to recall you saying that Khalil McKenzie was going to be a week one, you know, killer starter at Tennessee.
I mean, yeah, I was certainly the only one with that. Well, and let that be a lesson. Let that be a lesson. Khalil McKenzie, excellent example. Perhaps we should pump the brakes on Uroš Plavšić just a little bit.
He should have been a guard.
That is the Rocky Top Report, brought to you by Bo Kregner and the Kregner Group. Is your home worth more than you think? You want tips on how to sell your home faster and for more money? You want to sell your home at a particular price? The market has changed. Has your home value changed as well? Get the answers to these questions and more at Bo Kregner's website, BoKnowsHouses.com. Get yourself a little free information today. BoKnowsHouses.com is that website. Bo Kregner and the Kregner Group, real estate the right way. Do a quick timeout. We'll come right back. Open up the phone lines, 865-546-8200, your number to get on the show, 546-8200. Stay with us. Your phone calls coming up.
Back to the Drive on Fox Sports Knoxville.
Fox Sports Knoxville, the Drive continues. Let's go to the phones. First time this afternoon, get things fired up, 865-546-8200. Phil, up first today on the show. Good afternoon, Phil. What's up, Phil?
How you bearing, Jack the Snake doing?
Hey, man, we're doing excellent. Yourself?
Hanging in there.
Right on.
Y'all talking about the gap between Tennessee and Alabama these last 3 years. It's got to be the widest in the history of the series.
Oh, no doubt.
It's wider than the Pacific Ocean, Phil, isn't it?
Yeah, it's almost like any point of no return. You know, I mean, all in all, when Alabama's worst dip in their program, they still won two SEC championships and a national championship in that decade.
Well, and the reason the Gulf is so wide is because, I mean, it's just the perfect storm. Like, they're probably better than they ever have been before. I was around for the Bear Bryant Bear, but I can't imagine it was more dominant than it is now.
No.
And then we're further down. Obviously, this is the lowest point in Tennessee football history, certainly in the modern era. So it's not when you if we were just struggling along the way we were in the 2000s, where we weren't winning conference championships, but we were winning an Eastern Division title every 3 years. It's like we'd probably be like, okay, we can go down there and be competitive, and who knows? You know, maybe
might
they
sneak up on them. Yeah, one maybe year and win.
We catch them napping or something. But I mean, we're so far down that it's just.
If you go back and look over the history of the series, though, even in consecutive years where we've had runs and beat them, we never beat them by more than one or two touchdowns. I mean,
yeah, I mean, I can think of a couple times we annihilated them. I mean, we beat them bad in 69, and then the 70, we beat them 24 to nothing. And then I guess one time in the 90s, we kind of beat them a couple touchdowns. But most games are pretty close, even when they're an inferior opponent.
I mean, the Manning to Kent game. They clawed their way back into that one.
Yeah.
People forget that now. That was kind of tight in the second half. I mean, I felt like we were toying with them.
They scored a touchdown to cut it from 28-7, 28-14, and the crowd was going crazy in the third quarter. They kicked off. We took a touchback, and then the first play, Manning hands it to Jay Graham, and he went 75 yards.
You watched those games from like 3 inches from the TV screen, didn't you, back then?
No, I mean I watched them regularly. But I would tape them. I still got those videotapes somewhere. I watched them a billion times growing up.
Philly, you had
so
it exactly.
I remember that game like series to series.
Philly, you had it exactly right. In 1969, Tennessee's largest margin of victory in the series was 41-14, and then in 1995 they matched it with another 41-14.
Yeah, and in the 69-70, Barry Bryant saw the throwing the ball over down wasn't working, so he went to the wishbone, and then the rest is history.
History lesson with Phil.
But, guys, let's talk a little Tennessee basketball. Y'all talking about the, I think, fifth. I'd take it right now. You're automatically in the NCAA tournament. I think between Auburn, LSU, and Tennessee, you could just they're interchangeable.
Would it surprise you if we ended up finishing second?
No, but it would be these two of these freshmen are going to have to be really good to do that.
I could see nothing to Kentucky. I can see nothing. I expect to beat them here at the very least. I probably don't expect to win up there this year, but I'm not conceding the championship, the regular season championship, to them.
Nah.
Hell no.
I mean, Barnes has got their number. They might win. They got more talent in there, top to bottom, than any team. I guess Florida might be the second most talented team in the SEC, but the gap between Kentucky, Florida, and those next three teams is not a lot.
Isn't it bizarre how Barnes has Cal's number? I don't think even Kentucky fans would argue that.
Mm-mm.
But Pearl has Barnes's number.
Mm-hmm.
Would you have made that trade, like knowing where we are now? That it hurts losing to Pearl. Like that really stings, man. And I don't have much confidence we're going to beat him again this year. But I have confidence we're going to beat Kentucky when they come in here.
Well, if you had a choice, I'd rather beat Kentucky than Auburn. I mean,
sure,
I agree with Phil.
I mean, sooner or later, but Pearl's going to do something wrong and he'll be gone down there. But guys, really, you look at it, Tennessee. The key to their season, Lamonte and Bowden have to make a big step like Admiral Schofield did between his junior and senior year. And also, you're going to have all those guys like Jalen Johnson, Zach Kent, Pons, and Fulkerson. They have to be serviceable ball players. And then on top of that, you got to hope that Josiah James is a stud, and you hope that either Nakamwa or Classic is a are all SEC caliber freshmen.
I agree with that, Phil. You saw Jordan Bone make a huge jump last year at the point guard position, going from a serviceable six man to possibly one of the best point guards in the country. And if you can get that out of Lamonte Turner, plus some reasonable bench play, then there's no reason to believe that we couldn't beat fifth place in the SEC.
I've been told by people who've watched him play that Josiah James is already better than Jordan Bone ever dreamed of being. So I think he's going to be a point guard. So
I mean, I think that Bowden took the same size step from his sophomore to junior year that Admiral did from sophomore to junior. Remember back to Admiral's sophomore year, he was still kind of – he had just gotten out of Barnes' doghouse. We weren't really sure. I mean, he was very inconsistent. You know, on nights, it very similar to how, you know, Bowden's biggest thing this season is he's got to consistently come out night after night and grind and get his.
Yeah, supposedly this Finnish kid is the real deal.
Which one's that one?
Olivier Robinson-Camwa.
Yeah, there you go. And Plachix is better than we're going to have an upgrade at the five with Plavich if he, that's the key of the whole season, but he's better offensively than Alexander, but he's not the rim protector Alexander is. That's the only thing we're going to miss from Kyle Alexander is the ability to block shots.
Yeah, and that's a good point, Phil. It's not like people are we're not expecting nearly as much from Urosh as we are from Jordan James. You know, we're expecting that dude to come in and basically run the show. Plavsic, he'd come in there and defend his position, be big, grab a bunch of rebounds. I think Rick Barnes would be happy with that.
Alter shots, yeah. Get your hands up.
Well, somebody that I can see maybe filling in the rim protector position is John Fulkerson, because we saw last year as the season went on, not so much offensively but defensively, he improved a lot, and he blocks shots at a great pace. So I would be looking to see if he's hit the weight room over the summer and maybe he could fill in that rim protector role.
Yeah, what's the latest on Springer, any update on him?
I heard that his family is working with ESPN trying to set up a live time to do his thing that could happen today or tomorrow. So haven't heard anything today. So that,
well, look, keep us posted if you hear anything. If I hear anything, I'll text Barrett and get it to you.
Thank you, Phil. Appreciate
that. See you guys.
Mayor South Knoxville chiming in. 865-546-8200. It is Taco Tuesday. LeBron will be happy. Go check out Qdoba.
He's had a rough week.
He has had a very rough week. Let's keep in mind. Hashtag pray for LeBron.
He seems to stop talking.
Are you telling him to shut up and dribble? No, he doesn't like that.
No,
he doesn't
I'm not like telling that. Him to shut up and dribble. I'm just telling him, look, man.
To shut up and not dribble?
Yeah, I don't care what you do, but, you know, just, as somebody that's admired you from afar, I like to give out big brother type advice from time to time. Hey, you might want to shut up now and just be quiet.
More on top four.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I thought you said more on top four.
I know. I was like, what?
I was like, Russell?
Yeah. Are you speaking in code
Cody,
right now?
Houston? LeBron James?
Pretty good. That's pretty good. That's pretty good, Bear. Yeah, go check out Qdoba right across from the Gallery Shopping Center in Westtown Mall and Kingston Pike. Knockout tacos. $2.50 a piece. They're usually $3 a piece. Delicious tacos. Stop by Qdoba on your way home today. Pick some up. Or better yet, grab the kids and head on down there to Qdoba and enjoy a meal with the family. They've got cold cervezas. They've got fountain drinks. They've got the new Impossible meat that people are evidently raving.
We still haven't tried the Impossible Whopper yet.
Down there, I'm not going to do it. If I try the Impossible meat, it's going to be at Qdoba of Knoxville. You check them out again. Kingston Pike, Westtown Mall, not in Westtown Mall, across the street next to, I think there's a Jets Pizza in there and other stuff. There's that restaurant that changes names every 2 years. And
shuts down for a while.
Across from Chili's. How's that? That's the landmark, right? Across from Chili's. Qdoba of Knoxville. Mexican Eats. Quick timeout. The drive continues. Fox Sports Knoxville. More Fan Run Radio coming up.
You can't stop the drive. You can only hope to contain it. It's time for the Rickard Ridge Barbecue Smoking Hot Question of the Day. Brought to you by Rickard Ridge Barbecue. Located in Cove Lake State Park. Online at RickardRidgeBBQ.com.
How many games do the Vols win this year? Halfway point of the season, we're 2-4, not where anybody wanted to be, but six more. I think we're all in agreement. Six is the goal here. We need four more wins. What's most likely here in your heart of hearts? How many do you think we get to?
Six.
Five.
I'd have to lean towards five right now. I think six is very possible. I have to lean towards five.
Nabobs of negativity I'm in here with on a Tuesday afternoon.
Perhaps. Go ahead. Rickard Ridge Barbecue, smoking hot question, 865-546-8200. Where's this thing headed at the halfway point? You decide. Let's get Roger in here. Hello, Roger. You're on the drive.
Hey, Russell. How y'all doing today?
Hey, Raj. Doing well. How are you, man?
I'm fine. I just want to tell you how your birthday Sunday, Bear. A great birthday. The birthday Sunday and a good birthday yesterday. A lot of stuff. Got a lot of gifts. So I was overjoyed wrestling Bear. I got my birthday. I had a great birthday.
Excellent, Raj. Raj, how old are you, if you don't mind me asking? I know that's rude. How old are you?
I'm 37 now.
37. You're a young man. Yeah. You and I practically this. I'm a little bit older, a little more gray hair, but
Roger's got some gray.
You're a young man. Got your whole life ahead of you.
Yeah, so do. And I just wanted to answer any questions first. I got a question for you. Just want to answer your question.
Okay.
I think we're going to six games. Wrestling.
Six. You're with Bear.
Season. So that's my answer on that one. And then my question to you is, wrestling is in Bear 2. You think Tennessee, after playing better this past weekend, you think Tennessee turned a corner? Or you think wait and see right now?
Yeah. I would wait and see, Raj. I think it's a good sign, obviously, to win. I think the way you ran the ball and stopped the run is the most encouraging thing, and the play of Brian Maurer. But whatever's going to happen this week is going to happen.
We're going to get beat this week.
Ask me again against now who's being negative. Ask me again after the South Carolina game.
Just being realistic.
If we get to 6-6, did we turn the corner? Mississippi State.
Yeah.
Speaking of Minnesota, I'm on my dude PJ Fleck.
Nah, he's awful.
5-0.
He is awful.
He's undefeated.
Row the boat.
And there's a pretty good chance because they play, I think it's like Maryland and Rutgers. They play Rutgers this week and then Maryland. They're going to be 7-0 headed into, I think it's Iowa or maybe Penn State, maybe Ohio State. They have like a huge Big Ten game. They're going to be undefeated for that game.
Okay.
BJ Fleck, who's laughing now? Thanks, Raj. Appreciate the phone call. Happy birthday to you, sir.
Happy birthday to Roger.
Happy belated birthday, Roger.
865-546-8200. Rickard Ridge Barbecue, located in beautiful Cove Lake State Park. They do a great job catering. If you've got a fall party event, Thanksgiving turkeys, Christmas, you're looking ahead towards an office party, something like that, you need to call Rickard Ridge now because they get booked up in a hurry. Check out RickardRidgeBBQ.com and ask about catering options. Let them know we sent you. They do a great job. And I've been to several Rickard Ridge catered events, and it's always fun to see the guests come up, and they're always blown away. They're like, oh, you know, they're expecting whatever, and then they come up and they get some Rickard Ridge, and they're just like, whoa. If you want that reaction, whoa, from your guests, RickardRidgeBBQ.com. Stay with us. Hour number two of The Drive coming up